Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, dear Lord, for what we've experienced in the past month. And Lord, we're going to kind of finish it up, I guess, put a ribbon on it tonight. And then, Lord, we have been prayerfully, Lord, before you, looking at a brand new year as far as missions giving, dear Lord, and what you would have us do. And so, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help this message to help us tonight. And Lord, thank you for the assurances, these promises that we're going to look at tonight out of Philippians chapter 4 concerning missions giving. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I like to have a biblical philosophy, a biblical approach to everything that I do. I want to be able to base it on the Word of God. And by the way, that includes this matter of giving. As I studied it through the Bible, and by the way, if you'll notice the way we've kind of constructed our offerings, you'll see in a minute that they match what I've found in the Bible. You know, I believe in giving tithes and offerings to your local assembly. Tithe is something we've been commanded to give. It already belongs to the Lord. If you keep the tithe, you've stolen from the Lord. And I say this, offering, or a tithe, I believe, measures your obedience. The offering that you bring with your tithe measures your love. But I want to come every single week, every single Sunday with my tithes and offerings and give them to the house of the Lord. And then there's this matter of missions giving that we will talk about tonight and the promises that are connected with it. Absolutely 100% Bible-based philosophy that we ought to be generous when it comes to supporting those that are making an effort to spread the gospel around the world. And then we go to the Old Testament. And boy, the temple got in disrepair and it was shameful to the people of God and a bad testimony to God himself. And you remember the old prophet who took the box and knocked a hole in the center of it and said, hey, when you come to worship, put some money in this box right here because it's right that we keep up the property, we keep up the facilities. And so Sunday morning, Sunday school hour, all the money that comes in goes to our missions program. Sunday morning, Sunday night, they go to our general fund, tithes and offerings, so that we can operate the church. Wednesday nights, anything you come that's not designated that comes in the offering plate goes into our building fund. And that's just to be able to maintain the buildings, be able to work on saving up for future projects. And that's worked out very well, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And let me just say this. Thank you, church, for buying into it. Thank you for seeing it in the Bible and wanting to be obedient to it. And then there's a fourth type of giving that I guess I could call Holy Spirit-directed giving. And you see that throughout the Scriptures where, you know what, that certainly is covered in the book of Proverbs when God talks about moving our heart to help the poor. But beyond that, just any direction of the Spirit of God, besides your tithes and offerings, besides giving the missions, besides helping to support your church plant and keep the buildings up nice, you know, God's going to speak to you individually, just like he would speak to me individually at times about doing something that is beyond that, outside of those parameters. You know, God will bring people by your path that need help from time to the time. And I remember my dad used to have this habit, and I don't know how many years he did it. I know in the latter years of his ministry, I've watched people come to the church, and they needed help for this and help for that. Maybe sometimes he didn't feel like it was something that he could feel like the church could necessarily do. But he always, in the back of his wallet, he showed me this one time, as the Lord would supply some extra money from time to time, if the Holy Spirit would tell him to, he'd fold it in half. And he'd put it, he had a regular, you know, bifold type thing. He'd fold it in half and he'd put it on one end of his bifold. And he said, Jerry, anytime the Lord blesses me beyond what I was expecting, and then he tells me to do it, I'll take that money, fold it in half, and stick it at that end of my billfold. And he said, I just keep sticking it there until the Lord taps me on the shoulder and says, that's what I've been having you save the money for. You go help this person, or you give this person this. And I thought, what a neat challenge. You know, you don't have to do everything the way Bob Ross did it or the way Jerry Ross does it, but we all ought to be open to the idea that the Lord's going to bring people across our path from time to time, that he's going to ask us to make it. And so those are the givings. Tonight I want to just focus on one of these types of giving, and I want to share from you from the Bible here five promises to those who support worldwide missions. Five promises to those who support missions. And in this portion of Scripture, Paul is finishing out his letter. Of course, these are inspired words. The Word of God, this is the inspired Word of God. But he begins in verse 10 talking about how it rejoiced his heart. But I rejoice in the Lord. I like this little phrase, greatly, greatly. That now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. And Paul was a missionary. And Paul was out planting churches. And Paul was out doing missions work and evangelism. And he was an evangelist, but he was a missionary also, and a church planter, and a discipler of new converts, and a discipler of young preachers. And so this was a man busy, busy doing the work of the Lord, at great sacrifice doing the work of the Lord. And he stops at the end of this letter, and he talks about how much it encouraged his heart, and how greatly he rejoiced when he received from them. By the way, the church had taken up some money. The man is mentioned in verse number 18, Epaphroditus. We can't wire it to a bank account back in those days, you know. You can't send a check through the mail. And so they would collect it. They would entrust it to a man or a group of men, and they would have to go and track down the missionary and deliver the money to that missionary to make sure that he received it. And so this rejoiced the Apostle Paul, and five promises to those who support missions. And so this portion of Scripture is talking about missions giving, okay? Let me give you these promises tonight. Number one, when it comes to missions giving, know this, be assured of this, you have done the right thing. You have done the right thing. Look at verse number 14. Notwithstanding, ye have, what's the next two words? All right, he's not ordering a steak there, okay? It's not. You want a rare, medium, well done. That's not what it's talking about. Notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. He said in verse 10, I rejoiced. It caused me great rejoicing. Hey, there was a genuine need. I needed this, and it came. He said, listen, verse 11 and 12, hey, let understand, there's been times I've abounded. There's been times I've been abased. There's been times I've had need. There's been times God's met that need. But at this crucial time, by the way, I've learned that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He learned that. And he was willing to do the work of God no matter what. But he said, it sure did rejoice my heart when all of a sudden you showed up and there was a genuine need here. Now, folks, it says here in verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done. You have done the right thing. If you look at that little phrase, well done, it means you have done what is morally right, what is honest, what is completely and fully good. I like that level of assurance. Hey, you know what? When it comes to missions giving, folks, you know what? You don't have to give to missions and then sit back and question whether or not you did the right thing or not. I wish that was always true of all my giving. I had an incident just happen. I'll be honest with you, a couple weeks ago, somebody came by the church multiple times and finally got in contact with me, and here's a situation where somebody shows up and they want to try to convince you that they have a need. And I'm not saying that there aren't some needs that are genuine, but folks, I'm sorry, there's people who spend their whole lives going from church to church to church And, you know, so anyway, I came over and met the family and figured out what the situation was. But you know what? It's one of those situations where I don't want to be stingy and I don't want to not help if it's a genuine need, but I'm really having trouble discerning whether the need is genuine or not. Well, whenever I do that, I guess what I do, if I just can't get a clear discernment on it, is I'd rather err on the side of being generous than I would fall into just being stingy. And so I told them, if you'll take your vehicle up, meet me at Casey's, I'll fill your gas tank up for you. They had a water bill that there's no way we could have paid the entire thing. But I said, we'll have the church give $100 towards your water bill. We can't pay all of it off, and I'll fill your gas tank up. And so I met the lady and her husband and then an adult boy of theirs at the gas station. And as I'm walking to them, to the car to meet them to fill their tank up, I don't hand people money, by the way. I wouldn't suggest, unless you really know the situation, you ever hand cash to people, okay? Because they could be going right to the tavern from your, with your money, with your money. They could be going down and buying drugs with your money. But I'll meet them at a gas station, or I'll go with them to the grocery store and pay for groceries, or, you know, we don't ever hand a check to them. I'll go to the water department with their account number and pay, and I did all those things. But as I'm walking there to fill up the car, I've got three adults standing outside of a vehicle. And I stopped when I got about 20 feet from the car. I just stopped and stared at them like this. I'm thinking, Lord, I want to do the right thing. So I finally said, come here. And they all walked away from them. There was other people. And I'm never my intent to ever embarrass anybody. That's not of the Lord, folks. That's not of the Lord. So I pulled them aside privately and I said, let me tell you why I'm struggling right now. I'm looking at three adults. And you told me there's another adult that lives in the house with you. That's four adults that are living in the same house, and I'm paying for fuel, and my church has just paid $100 on your water bill. Okay? Somebody, probably all of you standing here, needs to go get a job. I mean, you need to go get a job. I told them, where do you think the money from the church comes from? Okay, we don't have a printing press down in the basement where we print money. We aren't a business where we sell goods and make a profit. You know what we do? We collect from the generosity of God's people. By the way, the people that come in that we're collecting from went to work that week. That's why they got money. And they had to hear all this. What'd you do then? Went over and filled their tank up. But you know, if I treat it like that, folks, even if they are taking advantage of me, they're not going to come back to take advantage of me, because they know what the next question is going to be. They stood there in that parking lot and they promised me, you just don't know how big a help this is. Because we have this guest, we're going to be able to, I've got a job promised. I've heard these stories, I can't tell you. And I'm just bobbleheading going, okay, good. So you're going to start work this week. And how about you? Oh, yeah. Oh, they all got jobs promised. And all they needed was fuel. And okay. And we'll all be in church Sunday. Okay, good. I'll see you Sunday. I'm going to see you Sunday. See y'all Sunday, right? Preacher, did you see him Sunday? Okay, when I was walking back to my car, I was like, okay, Lord, did I handle that right? You know, like I said, if I'm going to err, come on, I'm Bob Ross's son. If I'm going to err, I'm going to err on helping people sometimes, maybe when I probably am taking advantage of. And I'm not saying not to be wise with the money. But folks, listen to me. When it comes to missions giving, I never give to missions and have any of those feelings I just described to you. When I give to missions, I've got like the greatest peace in my heart about it. You know what? Because it's the right thing to do. I have well done. When you give the missions, you have well done. You don't have to question it. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't wonder if it's well-pleasing to the Lord. You don't have to wonder if any of those things. You have done well when you've given to worldwide missions. Okay, number two, watch this, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So the second promise, your gift will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Now think about this. Your offering, the Bible says, according to this, the gift is going to produce fruit. And so the Apostle Paul said, when I get this gift, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invest it in the work of the Lord. And as I invest it in the work of the Lord, it's going to produce fruit. Then he goes on to say this, the fruit that is being produced will be credited to your account. Rewards in heaven. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That word abound is, again, interesting. It means to make, be, or do more, to increase. It actually uses the little phrase superabound, to superabound. And I couldn't help but think about that boy that came to Jesus with a lunch basket. And here he is looking at 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and they're all hungry, and there's no food except a little boy with a lunch basket. And, well, folks, you know, I think we sang it this morning. You know, little is much when God is in it. Okay, little's much when God's in it. And it's amazing what we can give to the Lord and how he can watch this superabound it. What I want to say is this, missions giving is a gift or a sacrifice that will be multiplied in eternity. Now think about that. God promises to superabound your sacrifice for missions. He says, when you give to missions, I'm going to take that money and I'm going to make it produce fruit. It's kind of like this, okay? I can't go to St. Mary, Alaska. That's not what God's called me to do. You know what? I can't go up there and I can't plant and I can't water and I'm not going to be standing there when God gives the increase. So if you can't plant and water and you can't be part of the harvest and giving the increase, then what can you do? I can send them seed.
Amen.
And when I thought about this, I thought, you talk about a seed planted superabounds. Okay, come on, just a few weeks from now, farmers are going to be tilling the ground and turning over the soil and fertilizing and planting, and every one of those little seeds that they plant, folks, come one seed is going to superabound into a great harvest. And so number one, you have done the right thing. Number two, your gift will be rewarded at the judgment seat. Look at verse number 18. I want to remind you of this. Your gift made a difference in the life of a missionary. Now look at verse number 18, what he says. But I have all and abound. I am full. Now think about that. But I have all and abound. I am full. I skipped over these verses. I was saving them for now. Look at verse number 11. Let's go back. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Apostle Paul said, listen, I've been on both sides of this. But he said, because of you and what you did right now, verse 18, I have all and abound. I am full. Now think about this. Sometimes we forget that, yes, well, missionaries, you know, They sacrifice sometimes. Yeah, they do without sometimes. Yeah, yeah. But should they have to all the time? Should they have to all the time? Instead of lacking, think about this. Because we give to missions, instead of lacking, yeah, they've experienced some of that. But instead of lacking, they are flourishing. Instead of being discouraged, they're rejoicing. Instead of being abased, and that word abased means to be pushed down, instead they're lifted up. Instead of being hungry, they're full. Instead of suffering need, they're abounding. Come on, let's put ourselves in the position of the children and the wives for a minute here. Instead of one more time having their parents say, no son or no daughter, we can't get that or we can't go to that or we can't buy that, we can't afford that. Guess what some missionary kids get to hear their parents say? Hey, yes, we can. Yes, we can. You know why we can? Because those who God did not call to go where we have gone love us and sacrifice for us. So yes, kids, we can afford this. Folks, listen to me. I want you to understand it makes real differences in the lives of missionary families. It's hard for us to understand. That's why I said, would you get an atlas out this morning? Would you go to the map of Alaska? Would you find St. Mary's? Would you put your finger on that village? Would you go in the back and check out the population status of that and the villages around it? Would you realize that there's a family that's living up there? You know, he mentioned in his videos, had a picture of his wife cooking on a wood stove. And he talked about from time to time people coming up and visiting them, spending time with them, and how when they bring their wives, his wife, this is what me and my wife have found as we visited the mission field, these missionary wives just latch on to Cheryl when we show up. It's what they just want somebody to talk to. They need somebody to talk to. Think about that. It's a big deal. It's a big deal when we take the time to visit our missionaries. It's a big deal when you take time to email your missionaries or send them a letter or a card. That is a big deal and makes a big difference in their life. You know, sometimes I'll help people, come on, we all get the mumbly grumbly sometime. Well, I just don't feel like I have anything to do with Blessed Hope. I just don't feel like I have anything to do with Blessed Hope. I just feel like, okay, every single week in the bulletin, there are the missionaries of the week. Every single week in the bulletin, there's their email address. Every single week in the bulletin, there's their mailing address. Don't tell me you don't have anything to do. Come on, let me say it again. Don't tell me you don't have anything to do. Sure you do. You can have the ministry of encouragement. We've got 67 missionaries back there, and every single one of them face loneliness from time to time and do without and are abased from time to time and are discouraged. Listen, folks, he's doing right now. And I'm trying to, we were talking about this at lunchtime because he's actually on the way home. Brother Warren is going to go through the Navajo reservation on the way home to meet with Mark Haynes and Joel Haynes. And I said, I'm so thrilled that you're doing this. See, Mark Haynes is Joel Haynes' dad. Remember Brother Haynes mentioned this when he was here, how his dad's generation and the one that preceded his dad's generation are the ones that went out there, and I mean literally had to scratch out, you know, figure it out, do without. I mean, they used to gather together as a family and just pray that one Indian would walk in the door so their dad would have somebody to preach to so it wouldn't just be the family. They did that for years. Right. Now we see what's happening, and we're watching the Bible college, and we're watching the natives being trained. And Brother Warren said, I've spent time on the phone, and I want to figure out how do we get our people to that point where we're reaching the men and we're training them and we've got preachers coming out of there. And I told him, I said, you landed where Mark Haynes landed. You're not Joel Haynes, you're Mark Haynes. But I said, I'm so glad you're swinging by. But folks, listen to me. Aren't you glad that Mark Haynes did that so that we can see what's happening now on the Navajo Indian Reservation? But listen to me. Yeah, we're all glad. But why did they stay? Because somebody kept supporting them. Why did they stay? Because when it got discouraged and they felt like they were wasting their lives, you know what? Preachers would come, and sometimes they'd bring their wives, and people would send letters, and people would send care packages, and people would call on the phone. I cannot overemphasize to you the power that you have just to encourage people that are our missionaries. And I would get personally involved in that. Personally involved in that. When we get done voting in the new missionaries for this cycle, then for this next year, we're going to give you an updated missionary list. And once again, you'll have the names of every missionary. You'll have their wife's names. You'll have their kids' names. You'll have their address. You'll have their their email addresses. Let me ask you a question. What are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with them? Because I promise you, you don't know. You do not know what each of these families are going through. And you don't know the importance of them getting that letter or that email or that note of encouragement. And let me just say this. The tangible giving also. To check their account and see that, you know what, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, once again, we're faithful in their giving. And those funds landed in my account. And we can continue on doing this another month. These are important things, folks. Important things. And I don't know about you, but I just love being a part of that. Think about that. Number four, your gift was seen by God as a sacrifice made directly to Him. Look at verse number 18 again. For I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now notice how he describes it. What a beautiful description. And this is King James Holy Bible. We know it's true. An odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. It's not just any sacrifice. It's one that releases to the Lord, to our God, a sweet smell. I think when missions envelopes are put, checks are put in missions envelopes and they land in the offering plate, I think the Lord just kind of leans over the minister's heavens and just says, man, that's got a sweet smell to it. The Bible says it's well-pleasing well-pleasing to the Lord. Think about that. Wasn't it Jesus said that if you give a cup of water in my name? This is what he said, as ye have done it to the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Brother Warren mentioned cowboy boots this morning. And I made a little note, and now the note made it into my message here. I said, I bought Jesus cowboy boots this week. I bought Jesus some cowboy boots this week. I was driving, had no idea their need there, and I was driving and I was praying as we were getting close to Missions Emphasis Month and say, Lord, you know, we always do certain things for our missionary families while they're here. And what can we do that we haven't done? Lord, what can we do that we haven't done? And I was thinking about Joel Haynes out there on the Navajo, and I was thinking about those five boys of his running around all over the place. And it's crazy. They're missionaries to the Indians dressed up like cowboys. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right approach or not, but, you know, anybody out west, you know, big belt buckles and cowboy boots, you know. And I was thinking about those boys, and I drove by Boot City. And I said, how neat would it be if Blessed Hope Baptist Church just put a new pair of cowboy boots on every one of Brother Haynes' boys when he comes? And then I thought, well, who else we have coming in? All right, we have another guy from the Navajo. He didn't quite make it. But then I said, we've got the Warrens from, you know, from St. Mary's, Alaska. I said, you know what, Boot City. We're taking them all to Boot City. And when I told them that, they couldn't believe it. I said, listen, I'm going to take on a little shopping spree. And I said, if I give you the money, I know missionaries, you guys are giving people, and you end up spending it on, you know, your building or something. I want this to go to you. I want it to be something for your family. So we're going to go shopping. And I said, I'd like to put cowboy boots on all your boys. You ought to have seen the looks on their faces. Now, Brother Haynes, the two little boys had just got cowboy boots not too long ago, and they walked in there. I said, well, pick out a hat or a vest or something. And they ran over to a barrel and both found a wallet. Now, they're just little guys. Just a wallet. And they come running back with, this is what I want. And I'm trying to talk about something. Look at this. No, we want this. $10 a piece. I love those boys. I mean it. I just leaned down and gave them a hug. I was like, what to God, all missionaries were like. And, don't worry. The older ones made up for it. Amen. Two of the boys needed cowboy boots. The oldest one, Joel Jr., he just got a pair not too long ago, but he wanted a cowboy suit coat and a pair of dress slacks. And you know what? I just said, listen, just go. You don't have to spend any. If you want to take all the money home, you can take all the money home. If you want to spend it, you can spend it. One of the hardest things is get a missionary wife to buy yourself something. I mean that. Now, missionary husbands, usually they're pretty selfish. You know, they'll go get something, but missionary wife, finally she told me, she said, you know, we have about $300 left over what you gave us. The boys, I've been really wanting to save up, get them a bunk bed. Could we take this back to the reservation? I can buy a bunk bed. I said, you use it for anything you want, ma'am. I sure like to see you get yourself something. She said, this is for me. Doesn't that sound like a mom? You know, same thing with Mrs. Warren, you know. She is going to take it back to Alaska because she bought a pair of UGG boots. Educate me on boots here. UGG boots. She bought them in 2011, and they're made in Australia, if I'm getting the story right here. And the leather is on the outside, but the fleece from the lambs or whatever they use is on the inside. Now, this is what Brother Warren told me. He said she needs a pair of UGG boots. Before we left there, she was telling me, you know, I bought these in 2011. One of them's got a hole in it, and my foot's getting wet. And he said she really wants that kind of a boot because it's fleece-lined. It goes all the way up to her knees. And he said it looks dressy when she gets to church, but when she's going to church on the snowmobile, it keeps her feet warm. Are we listening, Americans? All right. As she's going to church on the snowmobile, it sure is handy. It makes it feel warm that she's got those. I said, so when we got done buying all the other ones, the boots and stuff that they want, there was $300 left. And I said, is that enough to get the UGG boots? Yeah, they're about $260, $70. I said, okay, take the rest of it. Go buy you something. I don't even know what UGG boots are. And a Brother Warren said, I bought these pair of HH brand boots. I don't know, double H brand boots. Never heard of them. He said, I wonder if they'd have them here. I said, there's 20,000 pairs of boots in Boot City. If anybody in the world has double H boots, surely they've got them. I said, he started looking. I said, don't look. Let's go find somebody and look through 20,000 pairs of boots to see if I can find double H boots. And he had bought this pair at a thrift store in Anchorage about 3 years ago, and he said, I mean, they fit perfect. They're just, you know, when you find a pair, come on, guys, that's of work boots that are comfortable, and his, they're still dressy enough, he can wear them to church, and if he breaks, he said, if I break down on the side of the road, I can get out in them, and it doesn't matter. They'll just shine right back up. And I said, well, let's ask her. And she said, you know, we do have some. Went over and just had a couple rows of them. And he said, I'd like to find the exact boot I have because I know how good it is. I always told my wife, if I could ever find, I wonder if they still make it. Guess what? Guess what? They had it. But guess, you know what? Y'all got to buy Jesus some boots this week. Got to buy Jesus some boots this week. You know, here I am, you know, over there at Casey's, 20 feet from the vehicle going, Lord, am I doing the right thing? You know what? Didn't feel that at all. Listen, folks, give to missions. If you're not involved in giving to missions, giving specifically to missions, get involved. Get started on this thing. You know why? Because that gift was seen by God. What we did for the missionaries, and listen, this money didn't come out of my pocket. When I say we did it as a church. Now, I did some things privately for them, but I'm talking about the main things we've done as a church. And folks, listen to me. Never begrudge that. Never be selfish about it. If you're the kind, every time we stand up here and talk about doing something for somebody else, you're just sitting out there half mad because all you can think about is, well, no one ever does anything for me. I pity you. I mean that. I pity you that you are so self-focused that you can't hear about being a blessing to someone who's a missionary to St. Mary's, Alaska, without having selfish thoughts. Oh, I'd get to an altar tonight. Listen, when you give and do these kind of things, it's not just any sacrifice. It's one that releases a sweet smell to the Lord. The Bible says it's a sacrifice acceptable. Then this little phrase, well-pleasing to God. Their little daughter, and I never can say her name. How do you pronounce it? Kenzaya? Is that Kenzaya? Yeah, what is it? Let me talk to you young couples. Stop naming your kids weird names, okay? What about Mary, okay? David, John, okay? Martha, okay? Bartholomew. I can pronounce Bartholomew, so. Anyway, the little K girl. She's got the little cartoon voice. I mean, I could get her talking and just listen to her because she talks in a voice like this and she's so animated every time she tells you something. She's awesome. And her dad wasn't sure she needed cowboy boots. She was sure she needed cowboy boots. And she said, you have cowboy boots. No, Daddy, I don't have cowboy boots. You do have cowboy boots. No, Daddy, I don't have cowboy boots. Ask Mom, I don't have cowboy boots. Well, Mom knows, and Mom's the authority. Let me tell you something. When knowing what the kids have and don't have, Mom's the authority, okay? And so Mom comes in, and she said, No, I outgrew them, and Mom made me take them down to the free store, and we shined them all up, and we left them at the free store so one of the little kids in the village could have cowboy boots. Now what are you going to do? I'm like, get her 10 pair. Cowboy boots, dude. What are you arguing with the little girl for? She shined them up and took them to the free store. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, I got to know where my boundaries are, you know. But, man, Grandpa's kicking in on me. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Buy the girl some boots. Bought Jesus some boots. Let me give you the last one. Of course, this is the one a lot of times we get to in verse 19. Your gift to mission secures for you a promise of God's special care for you and your family. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Sorry, you're not allowed to just reach in, grab that verse and claim it as your own and take it out of context. That's not how we rightly divide the Bible. You have to place that verse in the context in which it is written. And those of you that know this and have been faithful in tithes and offerings and faithful in missions giving, I could spend the next 2 hours just having folks line up along the wall and come up in here and share a testimony that, you know what, God keeps this promise. God keeps this promise. And so what's the best and best preacher? The value of the dollar and they're killing the economy and you know, milk and eggs. And well, those of you that got chickens, you're smart. You're looking really smart right now. Amen. We may all be getting in the chicken business. And you know, I don't know. Preacher, where are we going to be? I don't know. The economy is a house of cards. I know it. Trillions of dollars. I know. So what can I do about it? How can Jerry Ross fix it? I don't have a magic wand. I go up to the State House. I do go up to the State House. I try to have influence where I can have influence. But folks, you got to understand the depth of the evil that is controlling this country. There's nobody in this room going to wave a magic wand to fix it. But preacher, what about me and my family? Well, I'm just telling you, there's some wise investments you can make. And one of the wisest investments you can make to secure the promise is found in this portion of Scripture, because I just think God just looks down at a family that's faithful when it comes to giving the missions and just says, hey, I want to make sure they're taken care of. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these promises. It helps us. And Lord, it helps us to revisit these things and look right into the Bible and see these phrases and understand what they mean. Lord, thank you that this church has a 50-year history of investing in worldwide missions. Lord, starting in our Jerusalem, then our Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost. Lord, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord, because of your provision, because of the goodness of God and the gospel story and the generosity of God's people, Lord, we're able to impact our region, southern Indiana, planting churches, America, Lord, and having influence, church planting, church missionary efforts within our own boundaries of the United States, Navajo Indian Reservation, now into Alaska, and then the uttermost parts of the world. And we can go back and walk Missionary Hall and look at the names and read the letters and rejoice. Thank you for all these years, Lord. This has been a church that's got this. They've just got it. And Lord, we don't want to get stingy. We don't want to change. We don't want to make excuses, Lord. We don't want to get selfish. Lord, we want to be directed by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, this is something I believe that's a very personal thing. It's a private thing. It's something that you can deal with each and every one of us individually about. Lord, I pray for some children that would get a heart for missions. Take one of the cards tonight and say, I'd like to contribute on a regular basis to worldwide missions. I think some teenagers got some jobs, hasn't gotten involved in missions giving yet, needs to grab a card tonight. Lord, I think all of us need to take a card and at least pray over it, consider it. And Lord, just listen to your voice and just obey you. And Lord, also, dear God, that our faith would be stretched. And Lord, that we would give by faith, Lord, believing you and believing that you'll provide. Lord, as your Holy Spirit directs, I pray that you're pleased, Lord, with the rest of the evening. Bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's